Hello, and welcome to Circulus, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. My name is Crash, and my preferred pronouns are he and him. With me today are a bunch of people who will probably not die this evening, so far as they know. Among them are Chris. Chris, who are you playing this evening?
Who am I playing? I forgot. I'm playing Galen Kaldor, the gnome bard. I actually forgot what race he was.
That doesn't bode well, considering you're on a city of like-minded individuals. But moving in, we've got Jen. Jen, who are you playing?
I'm playing Meepo Chipclaw. She's a kobold sorcerer teenager for now. She'll get bigger eventually. Right now she's in that teenage phase. And my pronouns are she, her.
We also have Eric. Eric, who are you playing?
Hi, guys. I'm playing Obey Metalcaster and Agum. My pronouns are he and him. And big guy. I don't know if that's not a pronoun, but that's okay.
We also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing?
I'm playing Mayros Orcbane, the half-elf fighter bard.
In fairness, in my drunken state, I did forget the pronouns. He, him.
That's fine. And we also will have Matt on later. He is, I think, at an event, so he'll be coming in later. And I do not believe Logan will be joining us today. He is also hanging out with other people, which is fine. I promised not to kill his character. Oh, wait, no. No, I forgot to promise
you that. You promised not to kill his character.
I don't recall promising that, actually. Well, let's move on. So, to recap our last adventure, 2 sessions ago, you entered the wonderful city of Serain, the Flying City. I said city more than once. I said it again. And I said it again. Never mind. And last episode, you were getting used to the city. You had introductions. You went through customs and immigration. You got a nice day at a hotel after a wonderful trip on some sky rails that were flying through the air. Meepo failed her constitution save more than once, which was a delight for everyone outside of the splash zone. In the splash zone, not so much. And then there was a bit of a kerfluffle that we will not speak of, but they might have bathrooms installed at the temple to their gnomish deity later.
Oh, we did terrible things.
Yes, you did terrible things. You are bad and you should feel bad.
I don't feel bad.
Fine, next time I'll bring a Gatorade bottle.
All right, so long rest time. Dawn breaks. Obeying cast mending. The first thing that's going to take place is Obeim, you had mentioned that you were very interested in helping out with the food issues in the city, because right now they're relying heavily on clerics to conjure food and water for the citizenry, and you happen to have a spell available to you, a 3rd level spell that does that, where 1 spell slot can conjure enough food for 15 people for 1 day.
Great.
So you get up at the crack of dawn and head downstairs. Breakfast is very bland, and you recognize it immediately as the kind of food that gets conjured, because it really doesn't have much of a flavor. You don't conjure food and water for the giggles of it. You conjure food and water because you don't have another source. Sorry?
We can use some hot sauce.
Well, this is... Obeim's getting up before most people at this point. Obeim and Fenix and Ari are all down there to start off. And Obeim, I'm assuming that you would leave a note for everyone else to say, hey, I'm going off to do this?
Correct.
Okay. Well, as you're writing a note, Ari is next to you writing a similar note. But apparently he's going to go off to the library. He figures he can get there when it opens and get the library card and join up with the party later. So, you go off to do that. Meanwhile, over at the Adamantine Dirigible, Galen, you wake up to...
Good morning.
You wake up to the sound of someone knocking on the door of your dirigible.
What time is it?
It is about 3 hours earlier than you would want to get up. Whatever hour you want to get up, it's probably 3 hours earlier than that. Possibly 4.
All right, throw on some clothes very quickly. Stomp to the door. Open it. What do you want?
You see Luminous Skyratchet there. Good morning.
My dear, it is very early.
It's 10 o'clock.
And I went to bed about 6 hours ago and would like to get a little long rest.
Yes, well, daylight's burning, and just between you and me, I've sort of been sent to keep an eye on you so no one has to use prestidigitation in the church again.
Fine. Come in. Don't touch anything. You'll blow us up.
Well, I was thinking I could escort you to the rest of your party since they have tasks that they wanted to do today.
Well, I'm wearing the clothes that I wore last night so I could greet you. I would like to get dressed, come in, I deal with that, and then we'll go.
Oh, I'll wait out here.
Okay. I go, very quick wash, clothes, kick the orc, wake up.
That was my back.
I know. Are you staying here, or are you coming? It's up to you.
No. Wherever you go, I go.
All right, then. Get dressed. Quickly.
I just wear what I have. That's okay. I'll just keep on whatever I have.
Are you wearing the same loincloth?
Correct.
I pressed the vegetation to clean it up a little.
That's okay. I'll wear these.
You now smell like lilacs.
He has whatever tunic he has to put on.
I still press the vegetate you to make it smell like lilacs. Well, at least they won't have to worry about the smell. Come on. And we follow her.
Okay. And she leads you at a nice walking pace for gnomes, at least, to the sky rails, which are a decent ways away. And while you're heading there, she's talking about the wonders of the city and everything. And it's you feel like you're part of a tour group.
All very fascinating, dear. Can I, as we're walking, do I see any kobolds about?
You do not see any kobolds on the runway.
Okay.
And you get to the sky rail. And I'm going to need both of you to give me 3 constitution saves.
Oh, God. Isn't against magic, is it?
Nope. It's against centripetal force.
Oh, natural one. We're off to the races. Okay, so natural one, a 15, and a 14.
Okay, well, the target number is 10, so you had one fail.
14, 18, and 12.
All right, so the half-orc. I'm going to leave it up to you, Agum, as to whether or not you enjoy the ride, but you definitely don't blow chunks.
No, anything crazy and fun, this is all about him. He's all about this, so this is the greatest thing ever.
You and Luminous both put your hands up in the air and scream as you go around the corners.
As I turn my face to him.
What's wrong with you? You do not like this movement. This is wonderful.
And the mouth opens and...
Oh, you already blew chunks on the first turn. You don't have anything left to blow.
It's okay, little man. I have no problem with this whatsoever.
By the way, give me a perception check.
Who?
Anyone who wants to give me a perception check.
A lot. 21.
Okay.
18.
All right. So as you're going around one of the turns, let me load up this map here. I'm going to say if you're looking at the map, it is actually in the area that's between the Gemini market and the labor quarter. You do happen to see a kobold with a large broom on one of the streets that apparently is doing some street sweeping. Both of you see that. With your roll of over 21, I'm going to say, Galen, that you also notice that Luminous's armor, and she's wearing full plate, it's fairly new. Like, you can do mending to maintain armor, you can do prestidigitation to keep it clean, you can polish it and stuff, but there's still going to be wear and tear on it that over time you sort of break it in. She hasn't had this armor for more than 2 months. It is fairly new. She hasn't really broken it in yet.
She's a newbie.
Or at least the armor is new. All right, and you arrive at the inn, which, if I remember correctly, was the Singing Winds. And the rest of you, in this case that would be Meepo and Mayros, are having a nice breakfast. And by nice, I mean you asked for hot sauce, they didn't have any.
Savages.
I know, right?
Do they have syrup?
They do not have syrup.
So we've arrived with them, yeah? They're eating?
Yeah, they're having breakfast.
Just wave them over. Morning.
Hello.
Well, that looks kind of plain.
It's yeah, but it, bad.
It looks good. I can eat it and it'll fill my belly. I don't care what things taste as long as it makes me full.
And then you can go on the sky chair ride again.
And I clap my hands, crack my fingers. Any preference on taste, people?
Well, unfortunately, the food that tastes particularly good is, we've eaten most of that already. It was quite fortuitous that you came when you did, because we are really, really running low. I used up a lot of my spells this morning in the process of making food for others. There's not enough clerics to go around.
Can I press to digitate conjured food to give it a better taste?
You can change the flavor of something with prestidigitation, yes.
Okay, I just want to put my hands on the bowl, because I'm assuming there's food for us as well?
Yeah, matter of fact, they're not charging for food at all.
Cool.
It was provided to them for free, and it doesn't have any taste to it when they give it to you. They wouldn't be able to charge for it if they wanted to.
Take a bowl, prestidigitate, make it taste like waffles. Waffles.
How did you get waffles?
Oh, and I put my finger on her bowl, prestidigitate waffles.
Oh, that's a good idea. I wish I would have thought of that first. Hey, Mr. Mayrose, we can give you waffles now. Or at least
All right.
I put my finger on, yeah, we both do it at the same time.
Now, do you both make it taste like waffles, or do you come up with different ideas for what it should taste like?
What were you going to do?
We're giving them hot sauce.
I was doing waffles.
I want waffles.
No,
too
you
late.
Put waffles
it's
with
waffles
hot sauce.
With hot sauce.
which I actually do in real life. I will put a little hot sauce on top, and then
there you go. Then
okay, better.
It's very good.
Eggum, would you like any flavor?
Wheatgrass is my favorite.
Okay. Prestidigitate, make it taste like wheatgrass.
Good.
Luminous, would you like any flavor with your food?
I already ate, but thank you.
Okay.
In any case, once you're done, I was thinking I could give you a tour of the city. The sky rails go all around, and we could
No. No.
I just threw up on that thing.
Ooh, let's go around and around. Oh,
is there a walking tour by any chance?
Oh, there are fewer places within walking distance, but I suppose there's a few. There's some museums that are very close by that go over the history of the city, and I thought you might appreciate those.
I would like that a lot more than going in that death trap again.
I want to find the kobolds. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, we heard there's kobolds here, but we ain't seen none.
In fairness, young Meepo, you are the only kobold I've ever seen. And I am very
not
intrigued
anymore.
In seeing more.
Not anymore, because when you were blowing chunks, you saw one kobold on the street.
Yes, but this close interacting with, this is the only kobold I've ever seen.
This is true.
Yeah, I should probably warn you, though.
You're a what, dear?
I'm a little weird, even for a kobold. I'm green. They're not usually green.
Well, kobolds come in a variety of colors.
She's never seen one, though, that's not green. or that is green. Yeah.
No. Most of your Chipclaw clan are green.
Oh, I thought...
But
okay.
You have seen kobolds from other clans that were different chromatic colors. And any color that's not metallic that dragons come in, there will be kobolds of that color as well.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that. Okay, so
yeah,
never mind. But
that was not always
weird.
The case.
You're still
She's still really weird, though.
You're still nuts, and it's all good. Nuts is great.
Well,
yeah, and I don't know any other kobolds that do magic except the one that I taught magic missile. I hope he's still working.
Cut to a scene where there are acolytes of Bahamut in Fenix's temple that he was helping to build, just running screaming as a laughing kobold is casting his own version of magic missile at them time after time after time after time, and they're all running and screaming. He's just laughing maniacally. Then a giant hand just grabs him from behind and yanks him.
Jen, you've created a monster.
Good, you can defend the clan.
Okay, so cutting back to this wonderful event, you finish breakfast, and Luminous is ready to head you out on a walking tour. And she continues to talk about the various parts of the city, You do have to cut through part of the labor quarter to get to the sites that she wants you to see. But as you're walking, Mayrose, something does capture your eye.
Alrighty.
You see a sign that says Weft Goldhand, Hatmaker and Haberdasher.
All right.
And there's a giant glass window that is full of a wide variety of hats.
All right, all right. I wander up to the glass and take a gander. I see anything that catches my eye?
You see a few that you think might look rather dashing on you.
Hey, guys, I want to stop in here and look at some hats. Can I catch up with you later?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Find a All nice right. hat.
I will. I'm picturing something from, like, Dumb and Dumber, you know.
I have not seen that movie. I've seen parts of it.
Never mind.
I've seen parts of it. If you say Samsonite, I was way off. I'll get the reference.
No, never mind. All right, so yeah, he's gonna walk in,
okay.
Look around for like a shopkeeper or something.
You walk in, and instead of having a bell over the roof, over the door rather, you walk in and it triggers some type of gnomish device that goes doo-hoo, boo-doo-doo.
And, hello.
What? Oh, a customer! Hello! A gnome jumps down from behind the counter and comes over to you and shakes your hand energetically. Whether or not you reached your hand out to shake his hand, he shakes your hand energetically.
Okay.
Pleased to meet you. My name is Weft Goldhand. This is my shop. I hope you enjoy it. Is there anything that you like? We have a wide variety of head accoutrements and a variety of materials and styles. We can dye and fit them to suit your needs. How may I help you?
I'm looking for something in a Stetson, maybe in a, you know, a light brown or brown.
Oh, I think I have just the thing for you. And he goes over and he presses a button and a whole wall you ever see, actually, I'm sure you have, the Matrix?
Yes.
We're going to need guns. Lots of guns.
Yeah, we're going to need hats.
So there is suddenly, where there wasn't one before, there is a wall of Stetsons.
Wow.
And there are straw Stetsons. There are felt Stetsons. There are leather Stetsons. There's some that you're pretty sure are made of iron and steel in both chain and plate.
Sounds heavy. Anything that might look like rattlesnake skin?
Oh, that's a good question. Rattlesnake skin.
Maybe like a thin little band of snake skin?
Oh, that I can make to order. That wouldn't be hard at all. I think I have some in stock. Yes, okay. Okay. Well, let me just... Could you bend down, sir?
Sure.
Okay, he pulls out a tape measure and he measures your head. And says, yes, I think I have something... that could suit your needs. Let me just go over here. And you've never seen someone work the way he does. You're pretty sure that he's creating more waste parts than actual useful parts. But he very quickly cuts a band out of rattlesnake skin that he did actually have in storage. Better not to ask why, but yeah. You know.
But he once you've seen the sausage made,
some people will still eat it, but a lot of people won't. It's not the sausage; it's the scrapple. Watch out for the scrapple. And he puts together a hat that is sized for you and has. A band of rattlesnake skin going around, and he hands it to you like he's presenting a Fabergé egg.
All right, I'll put it on, and does he have a mirror there?
Oh, he has several mirrors, yes.
All right, go take a look. I like it. Good
okay,
work,
give me
sir.
A perception check.
That would be a 13.
Okay, for a very brief moment, you look in the mirror, and you think you see woods behind you.
Whoa. I will spin around.
You see a hat shop and a little old lady who's just entered the store.
Okay, where's the gnome?
And by little old lady, I mean she is a little old gnome. So she is little, but also elderly and hunched over. So she's littler.
She
has a gray walking stick, and she's sort of she's hobbling at a speed that you think if she had a pet turtle, she would tell it to slow down so she could catch up.
Hello, dearie.
Howdy, ma'am. I'm looking around for the hat maker.
Oh, he's right there.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought he disappeared. Yeah, how much for the hat, sir?
Oh, for you? We normally would charge about 20 gold, but the business is kind of tight these days. Let's say I don't really want to have you go away empty-handed. Five gold.
Sold.
Okay.
All right. I give him the five
gold off your character sheet.
Yeah.
And all right. You now have a wonderful hat that fits your personality wonderfully. And with that transaction completed, he starts... Right. Now, you can keep talking to him, but at this point, he's starting to wait on this elderly woman who came in for the haberdashery side of things. Where she came in for, like, zippers and buttons and stuff.
And I won't be rude. I'll let him start waiting on her, and I'll just kind of wait for him to be done.
Okay. Cut to everyone else. Because Luminous, she didn't really want to have you leave Maris behind unattended, but...
I know.
Meepo was really wanting to see Kobold, so you continued on. And give me a perception check.
Everybody?
Everyone that's hanging out with Luminous.
Okay. I have rolled a 5.
Galen?
I don't remember what to add to.
14.
14. And Agum?
13.
Okay. You do see a kobold. He has a very large broom, and he apparently is sweeping up... somebody puked on the city street, and he's sort of sweeping that up.
We all see the kobold?
Sure.
I rolled a 5. Okay, cool. There's
well, you notice that everyone else is noticing it.
Oh, everyone else. So I don't notice the kobold?
Not right away. But,
okay.
But then you see Agum and Galen have seen the kobold. And you're like, oh, what are you looking? Oh.
There's a kobold. I want to go over and say hi. So I start walking towards kobold.
The kobold looks up at you, squeaks, drops the broom, and runs away.
Oh, no.
That's
weird.
Is that normal?
Well, usually when someone comes up to one of the kobolds, it's usually to yell at them or tell them they're doing something wrong or kick them. Or...
But I'm a kobold too. They shouldn't have thought that. She's asking, why do the kobolds here think that it is normal that someone coming up to them is going to attack them?
Because usually, sad to say, that's what happens.
But why? Are there? This isn't like a forest. There's no predators here. I mean, why? Why?
Now, Galen.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in a city. You know full well that there are plenty of predators in cities. They just tend to walk on two legs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are predators here, darling.
But I don't think I would look like a predator. I'm a too.
Well, your friends kind of, sort of do.
So maybe I should go find the kobolds by myself.
I would prefer.
I would say that's
didn't
a bad idea.
Go find off by yourself. Some particular gnome that is trying to prove herself might actually get in a bit of trouble if certain individuals went off wandering the city by themselves. So I would prefer if you did not do that.
Okay, I don't entirely know what you said, but
hold on, let me check something. I looked at last.
Okay, while you're checking that, we are going to move over to Ari, because Matt is here.
Yay!
I like how every time someone in this party says yay, it's always so subdued and forced to eat Robin's minstrels type of way.
Aww.
I appreciate that. It amuses me highly. I'm glad you're not trying to blow out the levels for the recording. Okay, well... Ari, to backtrack a bit since you just got here. You said earlier that you were going to first use a sending spell to send a message to Vex. Do you remember what that message was?
Are you alive? If so, just reply yes. I will contact you again this way tomorrow at noon.
And Vex, what was your reply?
We are fine. Shep found me. Don't look for us. We're following a lead. Stay safe. We'll meet up soon.
Okay. I don't need a I won't. The only thing I'll reply tomorrow, assuming I have a chance, is essentially message received and no reply needed. That will be the sending I do tomorrow at noon, which is what I said my next scheduled message would go out.
All right. So,
but that's tomorrow. Ari is, if anybody watches him, he is visibly relieved once the spell is complete.
Okay. Well, that's something that Obey might pick up on. You got up super early with the idea that you would get to the Great Library right when it opened, or perhaps before, so you could get your library card and get researching on all the things.
I have a plan.
I'm sure you do. And you find, as you are leaving a note for the rest of the party to tell them what you're going to be doing, you find Obey is right next to you leaving a similar note.
Okay.
So you both sort of like have breakfast together or whatever, and it's incredibly bland, which is what conjured food usually tastes like.
Yep.
You've never had conjured food before.
No, not typically.
Part because of your background, and also because clerics in Circulus tend to worship deities that aren't powerful enough to grant third level spells.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a city that is primarily being fed through third level and higher spells is incredible.
It's a lot of people.
But they're not from around here.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people, and they're not exactly doing a very good job of it. They are getting at the limits of what they can do. So they were very happy to have found you. You do get the bag of holding from Meepo. She takes her backpack out of it, so she still has some of her stuff. But you have a portable hole. Not portable hole. You have a bag of holding that is full of shinies. One of them happens to be an extra planar focus.
Right.
But there's a bunch of other shiny things in there, too.
I'm not worried about the other shiny things at the moment.
She might be.
She might be. But I think Meepo would trust Ari to take care of her shinies for a short period.
Well, I'm sure she does trust you. All right, so you get to the library,
mm-hmm.
and this was early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you do see the guards that are stationed at the library, just like the mayor told you about, so if you have to send a message to them, that they are available.
Right.
And you go in, and I'm assuming that you're going to look for someone of import.
Did Ari hear anything about this library card situation, or was that just the DM talking?
You were told specifically that you could get a library card for the library. You would have to have an interview with the head librarian.
Okay. Is a library card needed to actually do any research or gain entry into? Okay. Because typically on our modern day, it's what?
You can enter the library, because how would you ask for a library card without entering the library?
Right.
But
there's the foyer, then there's the library.
Yeah. Like, if you look at the background image of the stream, that is kind of what the inside of the library looks like, but there's roped off areas. You can't actually go to where any of the books are. You've got a straight walkway to the help desk.
Right. Okay. Then he'll basically immediately go to whatever help desk there is, and see whoever's there first. I mean, I doubt it's manned by anybody of importance.
It's gnomed by someone who does not seem like they enjoy their job very much. they look incredibly bored. They are wearing a pointy hat, by the way.
How apropos.
Yes.
Then Ari will, introduce himself. If the gnome is wearing a name badge, he will address that person, that gnome, by name. I am here to... I would like to use the library, and I believe to do so, I am required to get a library card, if that is not correct.
The name badge says Lodestar.
Lodestar?
Yeah. Lode star.
Okay.
And he is sitting behind this desk with one hand holding his head up. And with the other hand, he just reaches underneath the desk, pulls out a stack of paperwork that's about 3 inches thick and thumps it down on the desk.
Yikes.
There you go.
I heard that there was some interview process with the head librarian.
Yes, this is the request documentation for the interview.
Okay. Got a pen? Got some ink?
Reaches under the desk, pulls out a pen and an ink, plops that down. That'll be 5 gold.
Well, you know what? I think I have some of my own here. Hold on.
You probably do.
Yeah. Never mind. I found it in my pack.
Okay. So give me a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom saving. I love how these are operated now. All right. So that's a 5. Plus 1 is 6.
You may or may not have signed a form giving rights to your firstborn child. And also taken over someone's mortgage.
Okay, then.
And filed taxes for the president of a small country somewhere.
If, and it's a huge if, things go the way Arya expects them to, this island will hopefully return home. So he's not overly worried about the forms.
Okay. Well, you've got 3 inches worth of forms to go through. And it's parchment. Parchment is thicker than what we normally think of as paper. So it's not as bad as you might think originally, but it's...
Perhaps a haste spell may be of it.
Well, keep in mind...
I do have those in it.
The rest of the party started their day around 10 o'clock, and you got up at the crack of dawn. So
yeah, there you go.
There's going to be some time dilution going on here.
Yeah. In fact, you know, actually, he'll probably pass on that because he doesn't want to make a mistake.
Okay, so you are struggling through the forms. And switch back over to Obame.
Yeah.
Okay, so you and Fenix headed over to one of the local churches to present yourself and offer your services for conjuring food. This is the... You went to the temple dedicated to Garol Glitterload, just because it's a gnomish city and he's the prominent deity here. There doesn't seem to be a dwarf population in the city, and dragonborn are unheard of. So that was that. They are happy to have you. How many spell slots do you use up conjuring food?
And it's third level too, which is kind of pooey. We'll do 3.
Okay. You don't use any higher level slots?
No, I think the third as high as I go.
Okay. Well, you can... Actually, I thought you had a higher than third, but never mind.
No, not until next level.
Okay. Oh, I was looking at a different character sheet.
He's only 6th, right?
Yep.
Aww. Well, he'll get big and strong if he eats his Wheaties. Wheaties is not a paid sponsor. All right, so you do that, and as you're doing that, there is a bit of commotion. And you see a group of gnomes bring in a bunch of stretchers.
What's going on here?
We found them in the tunnels.
All right, looking at what's the people in the tunnels that were in the tunnels, what kind of injuries they have.
Well, you ever see pulled pork?
Yeah, I love eating pulled pork, but yeah.
Several of the stretchers look like they're covered in pulled pork.
Oh, fun.
That's bad.
Not good at all. Anything specifically of life in any of these stretchers? Maybe clinging on to life?
There's one who is apparently still breathing.
Okay, so triage. We'll go to the one that's breathing and then work down from there.
Okay, give me a medicine check.
Oh, I can do these easy. 26.
Okay, so... most of the damage you can tell was slashing damage. It's very, very obvious. However, something that you pick up on is that there also appears to be some necrotic damage going on as well.
Do I sense any poisons or diseases?
You do not. Just the lacerations and necrotic damage.
Okay, let's go ahead and use a cure wounds.
All right. The gnome is doing a lot better, although they are still unconscious.
That's fine, as long as they're stable. Anything else I look around as far as gnomes that can maybe be possibly salvaged?
The other clerics are looking at the other individuals, and they are rather subdued. It doesn't look like there's anything you can do for them other than last rites.
Okay. Let's talk to the other gnomes to make sure these particular bodies get prepared for last rites. Do we have any family members of these? Do anybody know any family members? Anybody recognize any of these gnomes?
Oh, they have a lot of logs going on for that. Most of these gnomes are in the Goldhand clan, and there's some clerics here that are from Goldhand, and they recognize them, and they start doing what they need to do.
Does anybody know what happened to these gnomes?
They were gone longer than they were supposed to, so a rescue party was sent and found them like this.
Where were specifically were they at?
I'm trying to think about how they would tell this to you. In one of the maintenance corridors under the labor district. Originally, the city was... Everyone who lived in the city lived underground. It was basically a giant ship. But over time, they started building structures on top, and they stopped living underground altogether. They still use underneath for maintenance purposes. There's machinery in there under there that needs to be maintained. But over the centuries, every now and then, something finds its way in there and makes a home. Usually it's something smaller, like goblins or kobolds, and they deal with that. This obviously was a little more.
Yeah, this has necrotic damage. Whatever causes necrotic damage just isn't something small, especially to take out the gnomes like they did. So, okay, so with the we have one of them. I want somebody, one of the gnomes, watch this gnome right here to make sure as soon as he wakes up, if we can get him to wake up, we need to ask questions to see what happened to him.
All right. Switch to Maros.
Yes, sir.
So the little old lady eventually concludes her business and hobbles towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
Very slowly. Comically slowly. But that business is concluded, and she bought 3 silver worth of sewing items.
All right.
She counted them in coppers. 1, 2.
And she heard, I'm sure she had a coupon too.
She did, in fact, have a coupon. And she picked the coupon out and put it down last, and then picked up the money that she was overpaying and put that back in her purse, counting that also.
Okay. Being that I haven't died of old age yet, I'll was going to ask the shopkeeper if he knew any stores that sold boots.
My cousin was selling boots, but he had to close shop. We were mostly targeting the tourist industry, and we've been over the middle of nowhere for a month now, which the tourists who got stranded here all have boots already, and we weren't bringing any new tourists in to buy boots.
Understandable.
To be honest, if it wasn't for the haberdashery business I've got on the side, I wouldn't be able to keep the doors open, and that's usually not enough. You just saw my number one customer.
Oh, boy.
That's rough. I can hear you, you young whippersnapper.
Well, say, where could a fella get a drink? Is there a tavern around here?
The nearest place would be the Singing Winds down the road.
Ah, all right. There's no other places around there like that?
Around here, not so much. There's some other places that are much more of a hike away. Some of them, no offense, are more for locals.
Ah, I get it. All right, then. Well, thank you.
Anytime, sir.
He's going to leave and...
Tell your friends.
I will. He'll shut the door and step outside and okay. Kind of look around and see if anything...
Oh, you have to walk around the old lady to get through the door.
Excuse me, ma'am. Step around her.
Get off my lawn!
He's not on your lawn. You're still in my store.
Is this the Sky Rail Station?
No, it is not.
All right. It's good it wasn't Punk. He would have probably attacked her. But
I may have rolled stats for her. I'd love to see you try.
I know I separated from the group purposely. Purposely left the group. Any places that look like somewhere they don't want us to see, employees only kind of door or staff only kind of door or anything like that?
Well, you can definitely look around for one.
Okay, I'll look around.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
Okay. That'd be 13.
Okay. what you notice is not a door. What you notice is a kobold that failed its perception check running into you and giving a squeak and just looking up at you with big round eyes and trembling and then running back the other way.
Hey, what's the hurry?
It's gone around a corner.
All right, I'll follow it.
Okay. So Galen and Meepo, you hear a squeak, and then the kobold is back.
He came back.
And he stops, and he looks at you, and he gives another squeak, and he turns around, then he turns back, then he turns around.
It's okay. We're not.
And he starts turning in circles. It looks like he's getting really dizzy.
No.
Mayrose comes around the corner.
Hey, I want to cast suggestion on the kobold.
Okay.
And
what's the save for that?
It's a wisdom save 14.
Oh, wow. I rolled a nat 20.
Okay, wow. That's a wasted slot. On a freaking kobold.
On a kobold.
The problem with enchantment spells.
Yeah.
Meepo, your friend here seems very upset.
He runs over to a corner and just sort of like hunkers down and starts cowering.
Meepo?
I'm going to try to talk to him. I start slowly walking over by myself. You guys, stay here.
All right.
I go closer and I start talking to him in code. It's okay. We're not going to hurt you. We're friends. Look, I'm a cool too. See?
What's that on your head?
Oh, this is just, it's a hat and it helps me if I... A friend gave it to me.
Everybody's caught out tonight.
it's a hat.
Everyone's checking out tonight.
And it protects me from the sun, and it helps me if I... And a friend of mine gave it to me, and I was like, okay, what's your name? My name's...
Jaxie.
Hi, Jaxie. It's nice to meet you. Are there more kobolds here?
Some.
How are the kobolds doing?
We like it here. We get to help our friends.
You sound a little worried about
it. You keep cutting out.
okay.
You might need to switch from voice activation to push to talk, just because it's,
I don't have when you hit push to talk.
Yeah, that's something you have to turn on.
Yeah, I don't have it. Okay, so what did I say?
Well, at this point, Galen, you were interjecting.
I want to pull Luminous off to the side, away from Meepo's ears.
Okay.
So I'm going to still talk to the kobold and try to...
Okay, so you make soothing sounds and words and gestures, and meanwhile...
Uh-huh. In kobold.
meanwhile, Galen, Mayrose, what's up?
Luminous, not Mayrose.
Oh, Luminous. You pull Luminous over.
Yes, I want to mourn her. I'm not happy with her. How long have the kobolds been slaves?
Well...
This is not something I take lightly. How long have they been slaves?
Well, you see, what usually happens is they get on board and start messing with things and digging tunnels through the machinery, which usually doesn't go well for them, but also not well for a giant flying city that needs the machinery to stay flying. So rather than exterminating them, usually citizens of the city, usually officials that are trusted, will cast charm on them and then give them room and board and have them do tasks to earn their keep. And the ones that are in charge of taking care of them do treat them very nicely. We have rules that requires that, but not everyone in the city takes kindly to kobolds. You know, kobolds and gnomes do have a bit of a history, so sometimes, particularly this close to the labor quarter, bad things happen. Oh, and give me a perception check, Galen, specifically you. Actually, no, insight. Give me insight check.
Either way, natural 20.
Okay.
So 25 for insight.
So you become aware of the fact that for the entire time you've been close to the labor quarter, Luminous has been very wary. She doesn't trust this part of town to be 100% safe. It's possible that kobolds aren't the only creatures in this part of the city who occasionally get waylaid.
I want to do something, but it goes against what I said to you earlier, Crash.
Well, this is Dungeons and Dragons. You play your character the way you think you should play your character.
Yeah. I cast Charm Person on her, first level.
All right, what's the save for that?
Wisdom 14. She's probably pretty good at this.
You are lucky I have her stats. You said Wisdom 14?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an incredibly low roll. With her bonus, that was an 11.
Okay.
Her wisdom bonus is plus 7.
Charmed creatures regard you as a friendly acquaintance.
Okay. She was already considering you a friendly acquaintance, but okay.
God damn it. Should have done a suggestion.
Well, she is charmed.
I'd like to wander over to the pair. Just kind of start walking up. Everything all right over there?
Oh, everything's fine.
Gabe was just asking me how the kobolds are usually treated in the city.
I'd like you to be a little more honest about it, though.
I've been 100% honest. That is usually what happens.
And when it's not usual?
Well, you remember I said instead of slaughtering the kobolds?
I don't like the cryptic. Straight
I
answers,
didn't think
dear.
I was being obtuse. Sometimes
no,
if
no,
the kobolds...
I just want to hear you say it.
Sometimes... when someone can't be subdued through charm or being knocked unconscious or some other less than fatal means, they are killed. But that is not just for kobolds. That's true for gnomes that are misbehaving as well.
So if one of us acts up, you're going to kill us?
If you are causing a ruckus that is causing harm to other people and property, and there is no other way to get you to calm down, it is very rare, but it does happen. It's a city. I mean, have you ever been in a city that's 100% safe and no one ever gets hurt, ever?
Never been in a city where they just murder people.
I didn't say they just murder people.
That's what prison's for.
They murder people in prisons? Well, I suppose they do. In any case, we don't really have a prison here. We don't have the space for it. So we charm individuals and they serve out their term, being helpful to the community.
Community service, and if that doesn't work, kill them.
I didn't say that either. Please stop putting words in my mouth.
I figured they would be easier to just throw them over the side.
That's just killing them.
And that's a horrible way to go. We would never do that.
Seems a little more humane than being enslaved first, but that's just me.
Not
so
that
people who
part's
commit
fair,
crimes
at least as quick
should
as
just
you
be free to do whatever.
No,
that's what
again,
you're saying.
Prison.
We don't have a prison, we don't have the space for it. So they have, as you said, community service.
Maros is going to just shake his head and walk away and head back over towards Meepo.
Okay, Meepo, give me a charisma check.
Okay. That rolled over something on my desk. Hold on. Okay, I rolled a 20.
All right, so you and Jaxie are best friends.
Yay!
You have calmed Jaxie down. Jaxie is still very skittish, but less skittish than before. He's not going to go run off, and he is treating you like you are a glass of water in the desert.
Oh, nice. Do I see Mr. Maros coming up? Or are we...
Oh, yeah. I believe he's not trying to do a stealth check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he's going to walk up and just kind of like...
in my mind?
Yeah.
In my mind,
just kind of kneel down next to you. So, yeah, he's not stealthing. So,
okay, Jaxie, this is my friend, Mr. Maros. Maros, this is my new friend, Jaxie. And I put my arm around Jaxie.
Hey, Jaxie.
Hi.
He's not gonna hurt you, don't.
Nah, we ain't here to hurt you. Where were you running away from there, my friend?
It's okay, you can tell him. He's trustworthy. He's my friend.
This isn't the best part of town. Usually when people come up to me, it's to beat me up. At least here. Other parts of town are nicer.
What do you say we head back to the Singing Winds? And we can all just sit down, have a drink, and
he shakes
just
his head talk some things over. Quickly. No, I gotta finish my work.
Well,
I don't
maybe I can help.
Upset with me.
Can I help? Can I help you finish your work? What's your work? What do you do?
I only have the one broom.
Oh, you just need to get rid of stuff? Like dirt? Show me where. I can help. I can totally help.
Well, I was almost done with sweeping up underneath the sky cars. There was a lot of it this morning. It was kind of weird.
Well, let's go finish. And then you come, right?
As he says this, you are underneath the sky rails, and another run of cars just goes right over top, and you hear a bunch of kids going, "Whee!"
Deck save.
No, none of them has to make a con check. They're riding it for the fun of it.
I was going to go put my broom back and
okay.
You can come with me if you want.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Can I come with you?
Well, he was referring to the group.
Okay.
Cut to Ari. Ari, you have finished your paperwork.
Hooray!
It only took about 3 hours. And 2 requests for additional forms. And you had to press hard because it was in triplicate.
Right, with the carbon paper.
Oh, there wasn't carbon paper.
No.
I just read Discord chat, and I am disappointed in several of you. Okay.
Wow.
Because I'm looking at my notes instead of Discord chat. Discord was in the background. Moving on. So you are escorted to see the head librarian.
Hooray.
And give me a perception check.
Vision-based?
It is sight-based, yes.
All right. With advantage, let's see. We will take, 8 and 9 does not give me much choice.
What's your bonus?
So 9 and where are the skills? I have to find it on the new sheet. 4. Okay, 13.
Okay, so you got a 13?
Yep.
Okay, so you don't notice it first, but as you're walking down the hallways and up staircases, you begin to eventually realize that you are attracting an audience. Various
gnomes, or just general?
Yeah, gnomes. who look like they are all librarians in some rank or other, who are just sort of like watching you and following as you head towards the head librarian's office.
Okay. Am I able to tell the general mood of these people?
They give me an insight check.
Okay. All right. So that's a 12 plus 4, 16.
They are expecting something. They are
okay.
Amusement, most likely. Amusement on their part.
So this isn't so much as a pregnant pause as perhaps a practical joke?
It could be a practical joke.
Okay.
And you come up to the very ornate carved wooden door. With lots of scroll work and inlay and gears that turn that don't serve any useful purpose, but except for turning, as far as you can tell, and a few
typical gnome-like device.
Yes.
Yeah. Accent work on the door. You know, neat little moving parts that don't really do anything but look neat.
They serve a useful purpose. The useful purpose is they look like they should serve a useful purpose. And they're sort of hanging back at this point. Like, there's a bunch of alcoves and stuff inside passageways, and they've all sort of, like, scurried in, and they're sort of peeking out. They would be a bit less conspicuous if they weren't still wearing the pointy hats. So you see, like, the top of their head with their eyes peeking over, and then, like, 2 feet of pointy hat coming out around the corner.
The Ari is hatless, and that's probably what they're all amused over.
But you have a sea of pointy hats going down this hallway.
Okay. Am I escorted to this door, or am I kind of given?
You were escorted by the same gnome that had you fill out the forms.
Lodestone.
And he motions towards the door. And
Lodestone.
All yours.
Should I knock or simply enter?
You decide.
All right, we'll knock.
Come in.
Okay. I will enter the room.
All right. So you enter the room, and there is a large stack of books that you have to sort of walk around to see what else is in the room. And as you go around the what is a functionally a corner, it would not be if the room was a bit more tidy. But as you go around the corner, you see a desk. Well, you see the outline of a desk. It is covered in books and papers and paperweights and knickknacks and crystal balls and all kinds of accoutrements. There's
typical
more books
wizardly
stacked
devices.
Over the floor.
Yeah.
And
typical wizard's workroom, as it were.
And hovering over the chair behind the desk is a skull that also happens to be on fire.
Okay. At this, Ari will scream like a little girl.
you hear raucous laughter from the other side of the door. And over top of it, you hear someone yelling, "That's it! You owe me 10 gold!"
He will momentarily assume a defensive position, assuming that this is either some sort of illusion or a trick of some perhaps silly fashion.
Okay.
He won't whip out his wand of fireballs, but he'll kind of, his hands are ready to perhaps cast a spell that he may have handy, which he's still thinking over what he should cast.
Who dares disturb Matazumi? Head librarian of the Great Library. Are you a vandal? Are you a hooligan? Perhaps a vagabond?
I am neither of those things, creature of the night.
Well, if you have no important business for me, then go and be about your business. I need to get back to my studies. And he sort of settles down a little bit, and a book levitates up from a mage hand spell. And you can see he's reading a book called No Gods Before Us. Book two.
I am perhaps here on a mission of importance to your city.
Go on.
You are aware that you have crossed over to another world. I am from that world that you are now here, that you are now at. And I would have words with someone who understands magical theory and magical rituals. Are you such a person?
Whatever makes you think that I understand magical rituals?
Well, you're the head librarian. I would assume, well, I don't want to assume. Are you the head librarian, or are you some sort of device?
Okay, so I understand I am a flaming skull. So because of that, I do not have a lot of range in facial expressions. But if I had an eyebrow, I would be raising it at you right now, young man. I am Matazumi, head librarian of the Great Library in the city of Serene, greatest of all cities, flying or otherwise.
Very well. Ari will lower his hands. You are now in the world of Circulus. I am a resident wizard of that world, and I am aware of what has transpired. I would talk with someone, or have words with someone, who... How do I put this? I am in possession and know of where to find certain foci that may or may not return you to your home plane of existence.
Oh, that would probably explain the thing that I've been detecting underneath the city.
Exactly. I am currently in possession of one of the artifacts or foci. I know where another one is being safely kept. And another was stolen from us, from me, from our group, while we were searching for it. We were sent here by an ally, and I believe that fourth foci is probably within your city.
Huh. Do you have it with you?
I do indeed. I have one of them with me. The other, as I said, is safely protected with an ally. And another was stolen from us, which we will still have yet. We will still have to retrieve from her once we have the others in our possession.
Who's her?
A creature, a wizard of sorts, or of some power named Thava. She is from our world, as far as I am aware, so I am not sure you would have met her.
At this point, we're going to cut again and let Ari give the entire backstory of all of our adventures to a giant flaming skull without us having to listen to the backstory of all of your adventures.
One thing he does want to make important to understand to the head librarian is that the water one was found with an aboleth, the fire one was found with a red dragon, the earth one was found underground. We're in an air city, so he figures the Thorth one is somewhere in here, protected perhaps by some sort of air-focused or themed creature. That's basically the gist he wants to get across to this guy.
Okay. Cutting to Obame, as you're going about what you feel is your duty as a cleric of Illmater, Fenix gets a bit agitated, declares that he's wasting his time here, and sort of grumps off.
Hold on, Fenix.
He's already out the door.
Darn it. I need him to do some investigation on what's going on.
Yeah, he might have started doing the investigation, but he may have gotten some low rolls. It happens to the best of us.
Okay,
cut to Mayros, Galen, and Meepo. So you are following Jaxi as he goes to do his next job. And there is a doorway built into, it's not really a building, it's sort of like a cellar entrance, an outside cellar entrance. And it's very sturdy, it is cast in iron, and it has a big sign on it that says no entry, authorized personnel only. And the lock for this door is very clearly broken. The door doesn't even close all the way. But Jaxi pushes it open, it thumps onto the ground. The hinges seem to work just fine, and he motions for you to follow him down.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Is it big enough for Maros?
Oh yeah, it's big enough for everyone.
Okay, just making sure.
So, just so you know a bit of the history, which I'm going to say that Luminous told you about when you were half listening, most of the races that are prominent on Serene were fundamental in the founding and getting the city off the ground literally and figuratively. So some of these entrances needed to be built large enough for Pegatars to go through.
Okay.
And Pegatars are bigger than anything you've really encountered that can speak.
Yeah.
Well, for Mayros anyway. The rest of the party has encountered dragons. Those tend to be a bit larger.
So that Luminous doesn't try to cut and run.
Oh, she looks very nervous. Like, he really? So we're just going to follow the kobolds.
I'm keeping her ahead of me. That's fine, darling.
Okay. Well, this is most undignified, and I guess we're going. I guess this is my life now. Okay, we're doing
you
this.
You need to calm down.
What do you mean calm down? I'm totally calm. I'm not overreacting at all to being in an area where, it really is dark in here, isn't it? Well,
you're a cleric. Cast light.
I can make light for a little while. If I make a light, would that make you feel better?
The light would let us see what's down here. I've got mixed feelings about that.
You can make a light if you want to, if that's better. I just don't want you to be so nervous. Why are people nervous here?
Okay, so everyone give me a perception check.
Okay.
Except for Ari and Obame.
Yeah, I have a 12.
7.
No one else wants to add to that.
8+8.
Let's see. Perception. Oh, I have a 13.
16.
Agam rolls an 11.
Okay, I heard a 16, right?
Yes, that was from me.
I thought I did. You see blood on the ground.
People, there's some blood on the ground.
Like, check the walls.
Oh, no.
There's some on the walls, too.
Like any scratch marks or anything like that, or
this is a centuries old
okay.
tunnel. So yes, there's okay. going to be a variety of scratch marks.
Okay. Okay.
Some of them are look more recent than others.
Meepo, light us up.
Okay. And let's see. Which way
do you take
him
literally
that?
Or figuratively?
Yeah, because Ari has given her that direction before, yeah. and it means That's... something else.
Yeah, but when she did that before, she think maybe accidentally killed Mr. Beck. So she doesn't want to do that one this time, you know?
Just nuances of common.
Yeah.
Jaxie has gone and put his broom away, and he, as he sees that you're all looking at the blade, he's like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. He
What's
goes
wrong?
Over, and he pulls out a bucket and a mop.
Oh.
He's like, we just cleaned these 2 weeks ago.
I'd like to cast Bardic Inspiration on Jaxie to give them some bravery, essentially. Like, don't worry about that. You have a more important job for us.
But I need to keep things clean. That's my job.
Here, let me help you. And I cast Prestidigitation.
I was going to say, can you do like the Sorcerer Mickey thing and just get the brooms
yeah.
going?
Yeah. No. No, this is easier. It's quicker.
She cut See? Out the middleman.
Yeah.
Darn unions.
I'm looking for on the character sheet where it says Prestidigitation because I want more details. It's... I can't find it.
Click where it says spells.
Uh-huh.
And then where it says zero, because that's your cantrips.
Oh, okay. There
press
we go.
And then click Prestidigitation.
Okay, got it. All right, so now that I've cleaned it, I'm going to, let's see, I know I can cast Light and turn around and do that.
You can cast Dancing Lights.
I do. I'm using Dancing Lights.
I was going to say, that's even better.
Those are you so pretty. Look, Jaxie.
Four torch-sized lights.
Yes.
Meepo, you are wonderful, my dear.
Thank you.
Jaxie's just staring at the dancing lights going, ooh.
Those are pretty, huh, Jaxie?
Yeah.
Might I suggest we just have one of them on each of us following us?
How do we... I don't know how to control them. I just put...
As a bonus action, you can move the lights up to 60 feet to a new spot within range.
So Xander just put one on each of our shoulders and it'll come with us.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
Okay, just keep using bonus actions because we're not really in combat, so.
Right, yeah.
And it's a cantrip, so you could even just at will dismiss it and bring up a new one.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. We have been playing for well over an hour. Do we need to take five?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, then we're going to do that. As soon as I press a certain button.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
We're back. Okay, so you did have some blood on the ground. It's still on the ground in other areas, but you've prestidigitated it away in the general vicinity. What does the party want to do now?
I want to keep going. I want to find out who's in charge of this place.
Yeah, I'm the same.
So, shouldn't Jaxie, we where go we going? And talk to the authorities?
Why?
Because then they would send some people down here to investigate.
But kind of I don't imagine we have would. People down here. I don't understand.
Jaxie, can you take us to I guess it'd be your supervisor? I'd like to have some words with them.
He kind of likes to sleep in on alternating Tuesdays.
No, I also would have liked to lie in today, but guess what? That didn't happen, so it's not happening for him.
Let's just keep going.
At least that's what he tells me.
I think he'll talk to us.
Well, he goes out during the day. He's at the Bureau of Office Management, and I don't really know where that is.
Is he a kobold?
No. He's a Nagpa.
A what?
He's a what?
A what?
A Nagpa.
Bless you.
I don't remember what that is, but I think I've heard the word.
Nagpa or Nagpa.
So, does he have two legs?
What's he look like?
Well, he's a lot bigger than a kobold.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he has a grumpy face like this.
Oh, my.
Now, kobolds don't really have the facial muscles to do, like, smiles and whatnot. So for him to say they have a grumpy face like this, it's just his face. But he
pinches
his neck down a little bit.
Yeah, see? Kobolds would probably read that subtlety in other kobolds, I would assume.
So if we're not going to find this guy down here, does it make more sense to just leave then and try to find the right...
Oh, yes, that sounds like a great idea. How about we leave? We could go have a lunch or a brunch. I don't know what time it is because I can't see the sun right now. I'd really like to be outside. We should probably go talk to the authorities.
If she moves, I'm going to grab her.
Jaxie, are there more kobolds down here?
It depends on what our jobs are.
Where do the kobolds live?
Oh, do you guys have like a cave?
Don't really have a cave. We mostly live in friends' houses.
Oh, why? My clan lives together. Except me.
We don't really have a clan here. We just have our friends, but they take care of us. My bed is really super squishy.
Are your friends kobolds?
No. Well, I have some kobold friends, don't get me wrong. But a lot of us have friends that aren't kobolds. It's like you've got 1, 2, 3. Jaxie tries to count how many friends you have that are here that aren't kobolds and restarts a few times. Well, you have lots of friends that aren't kobolds. So it's normal.
Uh-huh. And I also have a clan of kobolds that are friends.
He looks around for the clan.
They're not with me today.
Oh,
they don't
he puts
like
the
to
bucket
travel
down. He was looking under the bucket.
Oh, no. They're not with me today. They don't really travel like I do.
Oh, I think I understand.
Is there, like, a place where all the kobolds get together?
Not really. I mean, occasionally we meet each other when we're doing our chores.
Doesn't sound like you guys get to be together. Why?
Well, our chores take a lot of time. They're not very hard, but there's a lot of streets to sweep and windows to clean. And
so, you know. Your friends that you stay at their house, they do chores too?
Well, they have important jobs, yeah. Like, my friend, Mr. Harbin, I think I said it already, he is in charge of the Bureau of Office Management. Or was it the Office of Bureau Management?
I think it was Office Management.
Or maybe he's manager of office bureaus.
But you don't know where it is, right?
I think he showed me once. It's a big city.
How about you, Luminous, and kind of pull her up? You know where it's at?
You know what? I'm going to have to roll a check for her.
And I would actually like to use intimidation on her.
Okay, give me a roll.
All right. 15.
She is not intimidated by you, sir.
Oh.
That was a good roll without the charisma bonus. Matter of fact, I'm going to do another roll. She doesn't notice that you're trying to intimidate her.
Okay. I'm just naturally charming.
So. She sort of like looks pensive with like one hand up to her chin, tapping a finger on her cheek, going, Well... If there's one thing Serene does have a lot of, it is bureaucracy. A bit less now with the new mayor. He's tried to cut back a lot on that, but...
What's a bureaucracy?
Politics.
I don't really know what that is.
It's not going to clear
either.
That up for her either, dear. It's a lot of people being stupid, Meepo.
Yeah.
That is a very succinct answer. I can't believe I said that out loud. Her face turns like bright red.
Are you okay?
Fine. I'm fine. Why would I not be fine?
Tell you what, you work with us. We'll make sure you don't get in trouble.
You promise?
Promise.
Okay, so that means we're going back upstairs, right?
Office of Bureau, whatever.
I want to speak to Jaxie very quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, he's right there. You're all in this one spot of the... underground.
Jaxie?
Yeah?
Do you remember how you got here?
Yes.
Could you tell me about it?
Well,
not how you got to this room, how you got on this city.
Oh, that's a different story. Okay.
Ah.
Yes, I do remember.
I had a feeling you were going to think that. That's why I clarified.
I appreciate that. So that's the right word, right?
That is the correct word, my friend.
Okay, what does it mean?
It means that you're thankful for something.
Okay. I heard Mr. Harbin use it, so I was curious. Well, anyway, there was a great big flying box thing that had a lot of smaller boxes that people were putting on it, and some of them looked like they had food in them. And I thought, hey, I could eat that. So I snuck on to the big flying box thing, and it flew away with me on it.
Were there other kobolds on it, too? Just you?
No, just me.
Just you. Okay.
So it was an accident, you coming here.
They said I was a stowaway.
Yes.
What's a stowaway?
Someone who's not supposed to be on the ship.
It's
you? Oh. I'm a stowaway.
Okay.
And there were some people that were very angry at me, and they yelled a lot. But then they took me to some other people who weren't yelling, and they were kind of nice. And they introduced me to Mr. Harbin, who said that he would take care of me and give me a place to stay and some food to eat. And I may have actually gained a few pounds because...
Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And he gave me a job to help pay for the food. And the job was sweeping and mopping occasionally. And that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Does he ever hurt you?
He looks like you just asked him a horrible question. Like, no, no, why would he do that? Mr. Harbin is nice.
Can I check if he's... is there something I can do to see if he's been, like, charmed? Because I know that that's the process, but I want to make sure he's being charmed or not.
Give me an Arcana check.
Okay. Oh. Floor dice don't count. good, because that was a natural 20.
Okay, so
26.
Not only are you pretty sure he has been charmed, you also know that if the person doing the charming actually did attack the person charmed, that would break the charm instantly.
You don't charm
someone then abuse them.
Does lesser restoration break a charm?
No.
No, it doesn't. It's only greater that does it, doesn't it?
Yep.
Or dispel magic would work.
Dispel magic, yeah. You can...
Oh, Ben can do that.
I cast dispel magic on him.
What if we just burn his arm like Indiana Jones did?
No. Then
that won't break the charm. That'll just make him mad at you.
But it worked.
I put my hand on his shoulder and cast dispel magic at third level.
He starts to shake.
What did you do?
Hopefully gave him his mind back.
Jaxie, are you okay? It's okay, it's okay. And I go give him a...
You what?
I give him a big hug. It's okay.
Why would Harbin cast magic on me?
I don't know.
He was always nice otherwise.
We're gonna find out.
Can he use his bardic inspiration now to help him remember? The player hopes.
So here's the thing. Everything he said was the truth.
No, I believe that everything he said was the truth, but I don't like the lack of free will.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
With the charm going away, he is aware that he was charmed.
All right.
And he starts babbling, and what you pretty much understand is the charm was really unnecessary for him. He would have been happy to do what was asked of him. He would have been happy with the bargain without the charm. Because Mr. Harbin, whoever that is, did treat him nicely. And his job was pretty good so far as kobold jobs go. The only times that he was really in a bad way was when he was doing his chores in the labor quarter, because it's the labor quarter.
Yeah.
So is Mr. Harbin, is he a gnome?
No, he's a Nagpa.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
What's a Nagpa?
It's an octopus.
I guess we'll find out. Does he have scales?
No. He's got feathers.
He's got feathers.
Oh.
And a beak.
An Arachocra.
No, what? Those are different.
Hmm. Does he talk?
Luminous sort of like interjects here and says, well, actually, Nagpa are a bit bulkier and they don't fly around and they look kind of like fat vultures.
Oh, I've seen a vulture, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
So what do we do now?
Well, Luminous votes for getting out of Dodge and going and getting a nice lunch. Jaxie doesn't really know what to do at this point.
Jaxie, come with us.
Yeah, we're okay. If we leave, we're taking Jaxie with us.
Yeah, come with us and we'll do stuff. And if we have lunch, then you'll have lunch too.
I wanna talk to Mr. Ari and Mr. Obame before we make any actions. But we can find our way back here if we need to.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to go off and search for whatever caused the blood trail?
Punk missing, totally would have.
While missing your healer and one of your major damage healers? Yeah.
Well, Punk and Vex totally would have.
Exactly. Yeah, Punk and Vex would have been just like, let's go kill them all.
You got Agam with you.
Because let's be honest, the two of them have done that.
Yes.
You've got Galen and Mehros, and both of them can cast a single heal.
Exactly.
So you should be fine. Oh, but you also have Luminous with you, and she has a bunch of healing spells.
I don't count on her to help us.
Only first and second level, because everything above that she used to conjure food.
Yeah, no, I don't trust her as far as I can throw her.
I think I'd rather have the party.
Yeah, but we got some information to work with. So
I will admit though. I was so tempted because that's what Vex would have done. He would have went straight in.
Mm-hmm. No, I know, I know. I know.
Okay. So you head back out, and it is getting to be around lunchtime. You never got to the museum.
Darn shame.
Okay. So
I want to go back to the Singing Winds.
Okay. Jump to Ari. You have finished giving your backstory, the short version, which was maybe an hour long.
Okay.
Which is pretty good for you, actually.
Yeah, he does tend to go be a little verbose.
Well, that, and there's a lot of it.
Yeah. We've done some things. I don't recommend it.
And Matsuzumi has been actually taking notes, using Mage Hand to use a pen to jot things down. The reading glasses he put on were only for show.
Right.
And they're slightly melted. Also, you don't know how they're staying on because he has no nose or ears.
Ears, yes.
So they're just sort of like stuck there. He still does the little head tilt thing to look through the bottom half of the lenses.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, I might be able to help you simply because, when we got here, we noticed a bit of a surge in productivity in regards to how fast the city was moving. And I was asked if I could look into that possibly with some scrying abilities. I do have some talents in that area. And I think I may have located the general vicinity where this focus was. I didn't know what it was, but it does mesh with what you've been talking about.
Excellent. My associates and I, we've had some success in recovering these foci. We obviously need that foci to continue the ritual to... I don't know if it will at this point stop anything else from coming, but we could use... We could perhaps use these to send people home. I don't know if your island city is going to be able to go through any portal that we could create. Which
well,
leads
it
to
got us
that...
here. I don't see why it wouldn't be able to take us back.
Well, exactly. But to do so, regardless of how this works, we need to recover that foci or focus. As I said, I have one. I know where another is, and while I know who took the third, We're going to deal with that one last at this point. That all said, your local constabulary does seem to have a great vested interest in making sure things don't get destroyed in the city. I can tell you, recovering these foci has led to some destruction. One, an entire town was then destroyed by a kraken. The lava flowing tower with the red dragon, nothing really bad happened there, but we ended up losing the foci. And number three was the devil's inverted ziggurat underground. And yeah, we kind of blew that one up. But to be fair, it was infested with devil-like creatures or insect creatures. And yeah, that wasn't a really happy place. So I'm afraid.
Okay, so the pen is moving in the mage hand in a yes, go on gesture.
Yeah. That all said, I'm afraid recovering this foci could do serious damage. But leaving it where it is could also be worse.
So it's sort of a go to the hells if you do, go to the hells if you don't situation.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, I'm sure that amulet of yours knows all about that.
Oh, this. It does?
Oh, yes. I can sense it. It does have a bit of a residue on it, so to speak. It called out to me like a beacon, pretty much. I imagine any demon such as myself would have noticed right away.
Well, to be fair, I haven't encountered any demons. Other than... I encountered one devil. But he seemed a little distracted when I dealt with him by a bomb that fell on his head.
Oh, well, you'll definitely have to tell me that story later.
Certainly. If there's time, and hopefully I survive the encounter. You have located. You found a surge. You said you found something, perhaps through your scrying.
Yes.
And so have you seen it? Can you make out what it is, or can you make out the guardian that is perhaps protecting this focus?
Oh, I haven't seen it. I am bound to the library. I'm not allowed to leave its walls for another 100 years or so.
Right, but have you cast a scrying spell to look upon it, or is the magical energy too great? Is the interference too great for you to visually, magically scan the area?
What I found was basically a vicinity, an area that was a bit different than everything else. I wasn't able to pinpoint it. It seemed like someone or something had cast some spells that were blocking scrying. It was why people actually came to me, since I have a bit of a talent for it. But right. The spells for blocking it were a bit stronger than what I can deal with.
On a player level, to back up a second, these foci, they don't necessarily interfere with the scrying or casting of spells, correct?
No. Matter of fact, they can be fairly easily located. It's one of the reasons why Fiddlepunch was able to create a device that would track them.
Right. Okay. Then I think somebody may have found the last foci here, Matazumi. And perhaps is clouding your ability to see into that area so that they might steal it themselves.
It is possible. Or they might not even know it's there and have cast those spells to prevent someone from seeing something else. It is a quite large city with a lot of diverse people in it.
But would someone to cast a spell to conceal their activity, would that be common? Is that something you run into a lot in this city?
Well, let's put it this way. We live in a flying city. It
yes.
is full of spellcasters of every variety.
Ah.
Some of them
might be a few things they want hidden that they don't, perhaps, say, indulging in necromancy. No offense.
Oh, none taken. I'm not necromantic, all appearances aside.
Yeah, floating skull, not necromantic. Okay. Yeah, I know, demonic.
Nope, I'm fiendish.
Fiendish. Oh, well, that's... interest. That's useful. So you have the area that you know of, an area where that you cannot scry or see into. Where is that within these walls or within the borders of your city?
Somewhere near one of the jet ducts, close to the Onyx Tower.
Okay. That kind of jives with what we've kind of been running into, where it's an area where there's some danger, yet power flows through. I'm guessing the jet ducts are where power is generated to propel and forward the, you know, propel the city, keep it aloft?
More of the propulsion rather than the keeping it right. aloft. Those are different engines.
Hence, the increase of the speed is why they also asked you to look at this. Okay.
Yeah, anything that makes things work in a different set of parameters makes a lot of the technicians very skittish.
I can understand.
They scream especially like little children.
What?
They scream like little children.
So, can you perhaps provide me some direction or a map that could lead me to where this area is so that we can investigate physically, me and my allies?
He pulls out a map of the city, which he has several, and he circles the area just south of the Onyx Tower, which also happens to be the labor quarter.
Okay. Now... I do wish to investigate along with my allies. That said, as I said, your government here is very
bureaucratic.
Interested. Yeah, and they're very interested in keeping things as they are. I would kind of like a not necessarily carte blanche permission, but perhaps some protection from any prosecution during our travels. And
oh, that would be fantastic if you could get that. That would probably help a lot.
Yeah, and who would I speak to get that?
Well, the mayor might know.
But the mayor can't give it to us?
I am a fiend that is older than civilizations, with a penchant for researching the history of many, many worlds and civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot begin to fathom the laws and regulations that keep this city flying.
That tells me all I need to know.
My understanding is, when they wrote them up, they were in a series of volumes, each of them larger than me, which I suppose, given my size, doesn't say a whole lot, but still more than what you would expect. And there was a democratic vote where people pretty much said, I'm not reading that. It's probably fine.
TLDR.
I strongly then suspect it may be easier to get forgiveness after what we've done rather than obtain permission.
Well, I turned out okay.
Meaning?
Well, they have me as head librarian. That's a pretty fun job, wouldn't you say?
He's ahead of the game. Looking,
yeah.
All I did was kill the wizard who summoned me and run amok through the city for a few days.
So did they bind
he almost
you?
Got a leg up. So.
Yeah. Did they bind you here?
Oh, yes.
But you are a devilish spirit, as it were, and thus subject to magical compulsions and whatnot.
Oh, I accepted it willingly.
Oh, well then.
I told you, I'm a history buff.
And it's a, well then, you found your niche and you enjoy it.
When my time's up, I'm probably going to ask them to do it again.
All right. So that said, I don't know if we should give warning to the mayor or not. The greatest good for all would be to simply take the focus and leave, and then simply try to help the mayor or help the city navigate to a safe place to begin trade for food.
Whatever you try, I'm sure it'll make a fantastic story.
Indeed it will. You are not the only important, or should I say, powerful spellcaster among the people here. Should I perhaps alert others as to our mission? Perhaps they could aid us in some way through either additional magical spells, scrolls, devices, etc.?
Well, we do happen to have a school of wizardry. You may have heard of it, called the Onyx Tower.
Yeah. The Onyx Tower, yes.
I could put in a good word for you with the headmaster there, He might have some information that could help you. He might know a bit more about the bureaucracy, although I doubt that. It's a possibility. I'll write you a note.
Thank you. Were you able... How long ago did They've been here a month. How long after they changed positions, or how long after you were brought to this world, did the change in thrust of the island appear? Was it immediate, or was it simply they brought it to your attention one day, and how long had it been between the time from the shift till they brought it to your attention?
Oh, near as we can tell, it happened immediately. It did take a little while for them to notice because, well, we're traveling over a featureless ocean with only the stars to navigate by.
Right, so, and when the stars changed...
They were able to judge basically by the rate of the star movement from day to day, or night to night, so to speak, that we were moving at a slightly faster rate than what...
Previously obtained.
What we tend to do, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you've been researching this problem a month, give or take. Less. The other wizards in the Onyx Tower, have they done any research that you know of, or did they simply hand you the problem and went about their own particular research?
I don't really know. They approached me saying that they were stumped and needed help, but they could have just been, you know, trying to flatter me.
Understood.
For some reason, when you approach a giant skull that's on fire and harbors the power of demons and a wonderful gift for languages and knowledge, you tend to feel a little intimidated and want to, you know, flatter them a bit.
I understand. And I am a stranger, so perhaps they may or may not heed my research into this, at least, or heed my potential involvement. Very well. So if you'll give me that note, I will go over to the Onyx Tower. I will beseech whatever aid I can from them, perhaps in trying to recover this focus, and see what they're willing to do about it.
Okay, he hands you a note.
Okay.
The note says,
Helsing. I can do what I want.
Well, the note says, Helsing, this guy seems to know what's up. You should probably give him a hand if you can. Skullface.
Okay. That's actually good enough for Ari.
P.S. He screamed like a little child.
Okay. Hey, Ari did. That's truthful. It did frighten him.
Sorry Plain about that last part, but he will ask if I don't put that on there.
Understood. I realize that's probably some sort of in-joke between you and Helsing?
Helsing, yes.
Okay. No worries. I am not easily embarrassed or affronted.
Well, you did pretty well, actually. The last three, we needed to have someone come in with a bucket and a mop.
Soiled their robes, did they?
And several rare texts.
Well, had I not recently encountered a major devil, a salt-encrusted aboleth, and a lava-bathing red dragon, perhaps your appearance would have caused me to have a... natural accident. But after what I've been through, you're just another interesting image.
You know, I think that's the nicest thing that's been said to me in a long time.
Well, then that's good. Perhaps we could have coffee and cake later.
I'll pass.
Unless you don't eat.
I don't have the stomach for it.
Of course.
And on that note, we're going to end it for the evening. All right. So this has been Circulus episode 41. We've had some fantastic people playing with us this evening, including Galen Caldor, played by Chris. Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Akari_mag or on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast at azerothctc.com.
And Meepo was played by Jen. Jen, where can we find you?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitch as Queen of Haiku, where I play Diablo 3 mostly. You can also find my website, Book of Gen, at bookofgen.net. It's got a bunch of gaming stuff and a bunch of other stuff and two podcasts.
And we also have Eric, who played Obame and Agum. Eric, where can we find you?
Hey, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Synergy. That's SYNRGY007. Or you can find me on VoteToKick.com.
We also have Tom. Tom, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra, B-O-L-T-H-R-A.
And got to hype your book.
I do, I suppose. My first novel, On Black Winds We Rise, is now available. It's the first book in the No Gods Before Us series. You can find it on Amazon.
If Matazumi is a friend and a fan of the book, then you can be too. I've got my copy. I will be reading it in 2 weeks when I'm taking a train ride down to Florida to hang out with my friends.
Awesome. Thank you again.
And last but certainly not least, we have Matt, who you can find here.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. And until next week, have fun.
Bye.